Hello out there, folks. It's Sunday.
Yeah, it's another little update. Pandemic update. We told you we'd walk you through it.
Yeah, you know.
A lot of crazy stories out today. Be careful, you know. Be careful what you listen to, and notice that all the stories, all the news stories contradict each other. And you can plainly see who's spinning the pro-CCP narrative. A lot of Chinese Communist Party propaganda out there. It's just obvious. I mean, you know, they bought their way into the United States. And they're just, you know, China didn't do it. You know, it's just whatever, you know what I mean? Then they say United States did it. They're saying that. It's crazy. Everybody knows where Wuhan is.
That's why I don't watch it.
Yeah. Just be careful what you believe. It's obvious. You can see who where the CCP money is being spent. But we had requests, right?
Yeah, like I said, it's Sunday. We actually recorded the Tuesday's show last night, so I'm still pretty like tired and shit.
Yeah.
But you know, that'll go up on Tuesday, except for the patrons who will see it on Monday.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys like that. It ended up being 3 hours and 17 minutes long.
It was a long show. It was a good show, though.
It was very long, so we didn't finish until really, really late. But
I to think about pancakes. I was like, man, we need to make some pancakes.
We did make pancakes at like midnight or something. They were really good.
Pancakes and fried eggs.
And eggs. Yeah, we had another request to do, because a lot of people have reached out to me and said they really liked me doing book recommendations. Some people also said they would like some music recommendations, so maybe you can come up with some of those.
I can come up with some.
I actually got an idea, because I was going to do some more book recommendations anyway, but then while we were doing the show last night, and when you listen to it on Tuesday, you'll see I don't even remember how I went off on this tangent, but we were talking about like adaptations of Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should talk about that a little bit on the show, even though, you know what? It's like, I was looking, there's a Wikipedia page of films that are adapted from Edgar Allan Poe stories, and there was a bunch in there that I didn't even know were supposed to be adaptations of Edgar Allan Poe stories. Mm. Like, there's one, it's pretty recent, I think it came out in 2014, and it's like, I keep seeing it, like, every time I scroll through the horror movies on Netflix, and it's called Stonehurst Asylum, and I didn't realize, but that is actually supposed to be based on kind of a lesser-known Poe story called The System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather. So it's like, oh, well, shit, I might watch it now. And I think we talked about Extraordinary Tales, too, which is either on Shudder or Netflix, which is like a animated anthology, which is actually pretty good. Like I said, the Roger Corman ones are easily my favorite, the ones with Vincent Price in them. And also The Premature Burial with Ray Milland, which is also really good. I dug that one a lot. And there's a couple giallo ones, too. There was, and I didn't actually realize this, but there's kind of a well-known giallo movie called Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key. And that is actually based on The Black Cat. And also Lucio Fulci did an adaptation of The Black Cat. And Dario Argento did an adaptation of The Black Cat in Two Evil Eyes, which I think also had an adaptation of The Facts in the Case of Elm Valdemar, which I think George Romero directed. I remember liking that movie. It's pretty cheesy because I think it came out in the 80s. But it's, you know, it's pretty gory and crazy and shit like that. And since we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe, I wanted to show you guys this. I got this like a long time ago, and I'm sorry if you just listen to the audio because you can't see it. But there's this really, it's kind of like a biography, sort of Edgar Allan Poe. And it's kind of like goes through all his stories and everything like that. And check this shit out. It's like when you open it up, I don't know how much it costs to produce this book because it's amazing. But you go in here and it's like, it's all illustrated like this. You know what I mean? And then like, sometimes, look at this, you guys. There's like these little like paper envelopes in here. And they have like letters and like reproductions of like letters and newspapers and stuff like that. Like from Edgar Allan Poe's day. And you can take them out and like unfold them and stuff. It's really cool. It's like a Nick Bantock type of thing. Which I have all his books too. But yeah, that's like really cool if you can find it. You can probably see that better because that kind of has all the stuff that's like folded out. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's super rad. And I got it at fucking Barnes & Noble for like $8 or something like that. Holy crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got a couple recommendations. If you like fiction, you like kind of ghost story type stuff. I just read this one really recently. Someone recommended it to me. And it's really good. It's called A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay. And it's kind of about a girl who possibly schizophrenic, possibly possessed by a demon. And it's kind of told by her sister, like, in flashback. And there was also, like, a paranormal reality show that was going on about her. Like, they were making a paranormal reality show about her. So it's kind of like a narrative of, like, a reality show narrative. And you're not really sure, like, whether she was really, like, schizophrenic or there was a demon or whatever. Also, here's one that's kind of a book and a music recommendation. There's actually a whole series of these. I have this one. I think I might have the Smiths one too, but it's called Perverted by Language, and it's short stories that are inspired by the songs of the Fall, who I am actually a really big fan of. Mark E. Smith died not too long ago, which it's weird. You didn't hear much about it, but I guess the Fall are like hardly known in this country, even though they had a song in Silence of the Lambs, so you can't really hear it. But yeah, this is like really cool. It's very, it's not horror really. It's more like weird indie experimental type of stuff. Like I said, I think I have the Smiths one someplace too, but I couldn't find it. There's another Smiths one, and I think there's, I can't remember what all bands there are. There might be a Joy Division one. There might be, but there's like a whole series of these, and they're pretty cool. So I eventually want to get those. Now this one is nonfiction, and I thought this was kind of a good thing to read if everyone's like, because everyone's freaking out about the pandemic. This is a classic. This is The Culture of Fear, Why Americans Are Afraid of the Wrong Things by Barry Glassner. It's like, it came out several years ago, but it's really, really good because it's kind of going into some of the stuff's out of date now because it's talking about how, you know, they're talking about like how everyone was freaking out about like the crack epidemic and
the Y2K.
All this. I think this might have been before that, or I don't know if he talked about that. But yeah, he talks about all different kinds of stuff in there. He talks about plane crashes in there, which actually made me feel a lot better about flying, even though I still hate it. It's just basically talking about how, you know, statistically people, you know, people are afraid of things that statistically are very rare, like terrorism and stuff like that, instead of being afraid of like car crashes or something like that, which is much more likely to happen to you. So it's actually a really good read. I've read it several times, and I would recommend it for anybody that gets stressed out about watching the news or whatever, because it's a good dose of reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you have any music recommendations?
Yeah, I got one. Well, I got a couple of them.
Yeah.
If you guys have never heard Sisters of Mercy, man, you gotta go on YouTube and look for the Sisters of Mercy and go listen to that first Last and Always album,
the quintessential gothic rock album.
Yeah, really. I showed that to some young guy, man, on Facebook, you know, who listens to the show, and he's just like freaked out over that. He's buying merch and everything.
Yeah,
shirts. He's like, man, that's a really good album. It's mostly just that album. They had other good albums after that, but they weren't quite the same because the band changed out.
They went a little metal later. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
just kind of lost that particular
like
sound.
More glam rock a little bit.
Yeah, but what's called First, Last, and Always.
Yeah.
First and Last and Always, I think is what it's called, yeah. And that's a classic album. Another one, you know, everybody likes pop music, and there's this band that I like called Death in Rome.
Yeah.
And it's mostly an online band. They make videos and put them up online, and they got their own channel on YouTube, Death in Rome. And what it is they'll take famous pop songs, they do them in the same kind of neo-folk style as Death in June.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, Germanic neo-paganism, you know, interpretation of, say, like, you know, like in Madonna songs, just any kind of hit, they've done it, you know.
They do a lot of 80s.
A lot of 80s
and early 90s, because probably one of my favorites.
They did Pump Up the Jam.
Yeah, they did. My favorite ones are Take on Me, the A-ha song, and Love is a Battlefield, the Pat Benatar one.
Yeah.
It's just really funny to me how a song like that, which I like those songs in their original forms anyway, because I'm into 80s music, but it's funny how you can take something like that and turn it into like this uber gothy, like, you know, drenched in atmosphere kind of thing. And it totally works.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it was a cover, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, dark vocals and real slowed down and mostly acoustic with, you know, big timpanis and stuff. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. You know, they're trying to do almost kind of like an operatic, or it's kind of like weird opera mixed with folk. You just got to see it for yourself. Go, first one I recommend would probably be like Pump Up the Jams by Death in Rome.
Yeah.
You'll like that one. And also the Take on Me.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Like I said, Love is a Battlefield.
Love is a Battlefield is good.
That's probably my favorite
one. They're all good. They're all good.
I had a bunch of them on my phone, like when, you know, when I would go out and walk and stuff like that. I can't remember. What's that one they did that was, it wasn't, was it Barbie Girl?
Yeah.
Did they do a version of Barbie Girl that sung by Aqua?
Yep, they did that one. They did a bunch of them. They did,
Shit, now I can't remember.
They do anything that's improbable. Anything that's improbable, they'll do it.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a lot of 80s and like early 90s stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're really good. I like them a lot. One band I want to recommend. I don't even know if they're still around. I bought some of their albums like back in the mid to late 2000s, maybe. And if you really like kind of old school, like gothic rock or death rock or something like that, but with a weird, like creepy, you know, Joy Division Closer kind of vibe, they're called Submarine Fleet. I have one full length album and like one, like a EP, and they're really, really good. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know, cause I had them on in the car, I think one time, and you thought they were like an old band,
but
they're not, they're fairly recent.
Right.
And they have like some kind of like more upbeat, like poppy songs and stuff like that. But then a lot of their stuff, like, the one album of theirs that I have, which I think is called A Very Strange Sight in the Distance. And it's really like this creepy, I mean, they're really like aptly named, you know what I mean? Because they sound like this weird, like underwater, like distant kind of sound. And it's like really, really cool.
What was that other Death in Rome song that they did where they did it? They cut up a damn old Czechoslovakian movie. Where the guy was killing the dude in the dam.
Damn it. See, now it's like, and now it's I can't really remember.
Good, it's a really good song. It's a cover, but it was really good. It's one of their best songs.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all they do is covers.
Yeah, everything's covers.
But yeah. As when I'm like more prepared, I'll come out with like some more music stuff and like more books and stuff, because I have like millions of CDs and books I could.
I've had guys ask me if they should still be going to work or if they should just hide out. Man, go to work.
Especially, well, if you need money, then you kind of have to go to work.
Right. Just take precautions. Try to get some masks and some gloves and, you know, to get real close to people. And keep washing your hands. Try not to touch your face.
Make people not stop breathing.
Chances are, you know what I mean? If you're in a real populated area like a city, you've already got it probably.
Yeah.
Like, and chances are you won't even know that you have it.
Yeah.
Because most people that catch it don't really get that sick. I've been talking to people... I think I already had it. You don't believe it, but there are other people
that said it. I mean, it's possible, but it's like it was just like a long time ago.
A lot of people I've talked to that around that same time, they had the same symptoms where you get sick for a few hours and it goes away, and you get sick for a few hours and it goes away. And it was just real mild,
I've had colds and flus like that.
Yeah,
though.
Like a real mild flu. And it seemed like I've been talking to people, and it was around that same time, and it lasts about 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, I think I already had it, but there's no talent.
That's what I mean. And unless they had tested you at the time, you would never know. Because, like I said, there's other strains of flu going around, too, like just like there are every year. So at this point, there would be no way of knowing.
Yeah. And if you're in, you know, the guy who asked is actually like in, I think he was in New Mexico or Arizona, and he's in a desert area where it's hot.
Yeah.
Hot and dry and not densely populated. Man, go to work.
Yeah, if you need to.
If you need to, you know what I mean? But, you know, keep going to work. Just take kind of, you know, precautions. If you can get a good mask, get it. And some goggles, you know, and just kind of steer clear of people. Wear gloves. So, you know, if you get the infection, it's on the gloves. You can take the gloves off. But just make sure you keep washing yourself, you know, your hands and your face and with, you know, alcohol or just even soap. Any way, you know, anything is better than nothing. But, you know, if everybody stops working at the exact same time, including those truck drivers, that's a wrap.
Well, now if the truck drivers stop working, we're all fucked.
Yeah. So. Civilization will fall apart in a few days.
Because we need the truck drivers.
Yeah.
We need the truck drivers and the nurses and the doctors and shit like that right now.
If they quit going to work, within 3 days, it will be Mad Max because the cities will starve. They don't, you know, food is delivered instantly. And if a city, you know, Katrina will teach you that if a city misses nine meals, that's it. And a few days later, man, cannibalism starts to become a damn possibility. When Stalingrad got surrounded or got cut off, because the Germans were fighting over in World War II, there was cannibalism going on in there.
Yeah. Well, people get hungry enough. People get hungry. Resort to desperate means.
Yeah. And some of them will start, will flip over quick because they want to flip to cannibalism while they're still strong.
Yeah.
That way they can overpower people. You know, it all depends on the situation. I think that's a very, very extreme. Chances are it would just be an explosion of murder, like Katrina. But who knows? Maybe there was cannibalism going on in Katrina. There was no refrigeration.
Well, like I said, I guess there's no way of knowing.
There's no way of knowing.
No. They never found most of
people. They never found a lot of people. Yeah. So
not funny, but
yeah, and that was before cell phones and stuff were real common. I don't even think YouTube existed.
No, I don't even. When the hell did you? I remember the other day I was like looking up and somebody had mentioned like when YouTube started, like when the first video went, and it was much later than
they had remembered. They had cell phones, but they weren't as good as now. They couldn't really access the web, and they really didn't have you really couldn't get video on them real well.
Yeah,
they were shitty. But you know, if that had happened in modern times, we'd know more about what happened in Katrina. But no, work for, if your job exists, keep going to it. Just take precautions.
Yeah, like I said, because a lot of people, they told them not to come to work, and now they're kind of hosed because it's like, they don't know if they're going to get paid or not. So
right.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So like I said, if you can afford to stay home, then stay home. But
to be totally honest with you, most of you people that were sent home because your jobs, job closed down, I think at least half of them jobs will probably never reopen.
They might not.
Because what that does to a business, it might be irrecoverable.
Yeah.
It might be cheaper for whoever owns that business to change the business model completely. So I would, they're trying to hook up something where they're paying people to stay at home. It's like unemployment.
Well, like I said, they're going to have to do something like that because otherwise, people need money to live and you need money to keep the economy going. Yeah. And if nobody has any money to buy anything, then
the economy collapses.
Yeah. I read an article again the other day because, like I said, I read a lot of food blogs and stuff like that. And I'm kind of interested in how this is affecting the, restaurant and food industry because, obviously a lot of restaurants had to close. And they said what a lot of restaurants did, other than going to just delivery only, some of them are now acting like grocery stores because they had like a bunch of food still.
So they'll just sell
and they're just like, hey, you want like, 8 dozen eggs or something like that. Yeah. So they're just like selling them off to the public so the public can come and pick them up, which, I think that's a good.
And they have secured lines of supply.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you might be able to go down to Pollo Tropical right now and get a bunch of cooked chickens.
Yeah.
They might have a special deal. Here's a bag of 4 cooked chickens. Take this on.
It's like, I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how widespread it is, but there are like a significant number of restaurants that are doing that.
Yeah.
Just because they're not serving anybody in house anymore and they have like all this food and they're afraid it'll go bad. So
they have everything divided up. They have everything divided up and they're ready to cut those damn roads off because when the sick start showing up in the hospital, they'll know where all the sick people are.
I just saw somebody, I think it was our friend Will, I think he posted a picture of downtown Orlando, like last night sometime, and there was like nobody. Dead. There was like one car, like on the road.
Yeah, they don't know where the sick people are.
There's a curfew, at least in Orlando, I don't know about all of Florida, but there's a curfew from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. You're allowed to still be around, to be out if you have to go to work and shit like that, obviously, or, if you have an emergency. But other than that, I don't know if they'll arrest you or just fine you, or I don't know what they'll do.
They're doing the right thing. They're assuming that densely populated cities that depend upon mass transit, like subways, they're probably heavily infected.
Yeah.
So that means in New York.
Well, like I said, there's Boston. No way to avoid it because no you have like it. People touching things all the time. I mean, flus are really
parts of California
really contagious at the best of times.
I don't really think it's gonna be too bad in our area.
Probably not.
No public transportation to speak of.
Not really. There's buses, but
not enough.
It's not very common for people to take them. Most people have their own cars.
Yeah.
And where we live, like I said, it's kind of we don't live in the middle of Orlando. We live like about 18 miles outside of downtown Orlando, like in kind of a suburban area. So, it'll be all right.
I would think that, it's a damn near pandemonium happening in Italy, and I think Italy is 2 weeks ahead of us.
Yeah.
So we'll know in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens.
I think they met, Some people are saying that, hey, there was, why didn't they respond earlier? This is an early response. This is way early.
Yeah.
This is way early. Because you don't have thousands of sick people swamping the hospitals yet. That's a couple, we're a couple weeks away from that.
Yeah, like I said, we'll now see how it goes.
So I think, hopefully we caught it in time.
Yeah.
To contain the spreads just to a few areas.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Everybody just try to stay positive out there. Chill out. Like I said, it sucks, but there's really not much you can do other than try to keep yourself safe and just watch things unfold and.
Yeah.
Just try to keep your shit together.
If they sent your ass home, keep an eye on that job. See if that job evaporates.
Yeah.
I would just plan for an online future if you can.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to go to.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, have a happy rest of your Sunday.
Yeah.
And we will be talking to you again next week. He's like, thanks for ending on a bum note.
Yeah, and then the shit, well, I'm just trying to keep shit realistic.
I just, I was like, hey, we'll talk about some books and music and stuff, and then Tom comes and it's all doom and gloom once again.
Well, don't want to overreact, but you also don't want to fucking pump people full of fucking, sunshine.
Yeah, but I think at this point, most people know they that it's a shitty situation. Yeah. And I think people are just trying to, they're like, hey, I know it's bad. I know, I'm stuck in my house. So it's like, I just want, some fun shit to do.
I don't believe this is a civilization-ending event.
No, I don't think so
either. It's just a temporary setback, and it's going to accelerate. The way it was going, it's going to accelerate it forward 5 years in just a few months.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Which, like I said, in the long run, that might turn out okay.
Yeah, that might work out better. Just
I'm trying to see a silver lining.
Remain Gumby. Remain flexible.
Remain Gumby.
Yeah, remain flexible.
I'll be pokey.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you again next time we talk to you, which will probably be tomorrow.